Attention! This makes absolutely no sense. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Xander's Facts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the latest episode of the Xander's Facts podcast. I am, of course, the aforementioned Xander. We got a new podcast, y'all. Finally, it is episode 137 of the podcast here on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Our first new podcast in almost a month. It feels so good to be back, y'all. Oh man, I'm excited for what we got on tap this week. I'll get to that in just a second. Before we do, just thought I'd remind you all that if you like the Xander's Facts podcast, if you think you're going to like all the facts of this week's edition, remember to follow the podcast, download this episode to your devices, rate and review the podcast. Check us out on all the socials, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Xander's Facts. That is Xander with a Z. And most importantly, remember to tell all your friends. We like to call it spreading the facts around here. Tell all your friends about the podcast, the newsletter as well, Xander's Weekend Facts. If you don't know, it is a recap of the week's top headlines, and it comes out every Sunday morning, written by myself, written by Xander. Check that out. You can sign up for free in the episode subscription of this podcast episode. And you can also check out the Xander's Facts link tree, because that has all the Xander's Facts links that you need for the newsletter and for the podcast, for the YouTube channel, for the socials, all that stuff. Check out the Xander's Facts link tree and remember to listen to any of our past 136 episodes of facts as well. Only facts on this podcast, including this week, where we are talking about basketball. Our last podcast had something to do with basketball, our little March Madness thing. And by the way, if you didn't listen to my little snippet that I put out last week, UConn won the national championship of March Madness, and I'm pretty sure that was said before March Madness even started, that was going to happen on this podcast by me. So I'm just warning you all, there's going to be some more facts this week, but we're turning from the college game to the pro game, NBA. And of course, when we say those three letters, NBA, National Basketball Association, there's only one man we bring onto this podcast, and it is our Xander's Facts senior NBA analyst, Hillbilly. He is back on the podcast this week because the NBA playoffs begin this week. The play-in tournament has already begun. The playoffs officially begin on Saturday. It's a great time to be a basketball fan, y'all. We got some great basketball going on. And so this week, Hillbilly is coming on the podcast to break down all the playoff teams, the matchups. We're going to do our little predictions. And ultimately, we predict who we think is going to win the NBA Finals. Just letting y'all know, pretty sure that last year on our NBA Playoffs Preview podcast, I picked the Denver Nuggets to win the Finals, and they did win the Finals. So again, there's a whole lot of facts on this podcast, so you might want to pay attention, because we got some good facts to share with y'all this week. So let's get straight to it, because I'm excited for y'all to hear what Hillbilly has to say about the facts and all the basketball that you'll ever need. There's a ton of facts on this podcast, so let's get straight to it. We are doing our NBA playoff preview for the 2023-2024 season this week on the podcast with our Xander's Facts senior NBA analyst, Hillbilly. That is coming up as the Xander's Facts podcast continues.
Xander's Facts.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 137 of the Xander's Facts podcast. We are sticking with the theme of basketball this week. We're turning over from college to the professional game. And when we talk about professional basketball, we always have to bring on the man who I know knows the most about the National Basketball Association out of anybody, possibly in the history of the world, our Xander's Facts senior NBA analyst, Hillbilly. He is back on the podcast for the millionth time, probably, even though we've only done 137 episodes. Hillbilly, how does that make you feel? You've been on here so long.
It makes me feel lucky.
You are truly lucky to join this amazing podcast and have a platform to share your facts.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. So Hillbilly's back on the podcast because the NBA season, or at least the regular season, has come to a conclusion. And so the regular season is over. Sunday were the final games. All 30 teams played 15 games. And we are ready for the postseason as it starts every year in April. And so, of course, on this podcast, we are going to be talking about all the postseason teams. There's 10 teams at each conference. 20 in total, but only one of them is going to win the NBA Finals. And we are going to tell you who is that going to be on the podcast this week. I'm pretty sure that I picked the Nuggets to go to the finals last year, if I'm not mistaken. So,
you did. You picked the Nuggets to win last year.
So you might be hearing some facts this week on this podcast.
I picked the Bucks.
Well, they got close. You know, the first round is...
Well, if Giannis hadn't broken his back, maybe they would have.
I guess so. All right. Hillbilly's going to make a better prediction this year. I'm going to continue rolling on my picks this year. We're going to break down all the matchups starting in the first round to the semifinals, to the conference finals, to the NBA finals. We've got all the facts covered for you on this week's podcast. And before we get to that, Hillbilly, because the play-in starts on Tuesday. So already by the time you're listening to this podcast on Wednesday, by the time this comes out, playoff basketball is already going to start. But the actual playoffs, the first round doesn't start until Saturday, so we still got a couple days. But 82 games are done for all teams. I don't know how many games in total that is for however long the NBA season is, but the regular season is over. And from what I have heard, I've been watching some basketball, but from what I've heard from our Sanders Fex senior NBA analyst, this has been a regular season to remember. So can you kind of piece together your thoughts on how the season has gone so far for us newbies who are just getting into it in the playoffs?
Happily. So it's been a great season. And I know, I think I say that every time. But you know, it does, like, the NBA is getting their product better and better every year. They're learning new stuff. They're trying new stuff. They're polishing it. It's a better product than it's ever been for a bunch of different reasons. You know, we had some new stuff this year that we hadn't seen before. We had the beginning of the in-season tournament, which we talked about. Personally, I couldn't care less, but you know, it's a fun thing to try, and hopefully it'll just slowly gather steam over the years and people will start to care about it more. And it's a good idea, and I don't think anybody was really super against it. And LeBron made sure that he got that trophy for his I think the Lakers were actually the only team, them and the Pacers, that like really cared. But, you know, more teams will care in the future. But, you know, other than that, it was a really good year. It's a lot of parity in the league. The East was a bit of a mess, but the West is just incredible. I mean, we're going to go over later the playoff matchups, but, you know, in the 10th seed, you know, the last team to make it into the play-in, you've got the Warriors. You know, so you've got a healthy Steph Curry, who is still in his prime, still playing just about as well as he ever has. It's a really good team. They're 46-36, so it's not like their record isn't good, but the West is just so loaded with talent right now that they come in 10th. And, you know, even in the East, you've got the Heat and the Sixers sitting there lurking at 7-8. So there really was just a ton of parity this year. The only team that really kind of doesn't follow that parity rule this year is the Celtics, who kind of ran away with the regular season, really in historic fashion. And we're going to talk more about that when we talk about the Celtics. But I mean, they truly were a historically good team. We will see what's going to happen in the playoffs. They've still got a lot of questions to answer with that. But, you know, they really did show us a lot in the regular season. And, you know, another big thing that happened is the NBA just keeps loading up the talent. And I think that we've talked about this before, that the NBA is more talent in it now than it's ever had before. And it just got more now. And we talked about how there were different kinds of generations, how, you know, you have the new players, you know, the really young players like the Lucas, all them. Then you have the somewhat middle-aged by NBA standards with Giannis and Jokic. And then you have the older guard where you have, you know, LeBron and Steph Curry still playing really good basketball, really on top of their game still. I mean, LeBron James had his best year from behind the three-point line that he's ever had, and he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
He shot over 40%. And I am not a LeBron fan, but that's pretty crazy. That's really good. And now to add it into the mix, we have these new players coming in. So that we've got this next generation like right on the heels, and they look incredible. You know, Chet Holmgren towards the beginning of the year looked like he was going to just run away with the rookie of the year. As good as Wembanyama looked, Chet looked so good with his efficiency. I mean, he's shooting such a good percentage that he really looked like he was going to be the guy. And then Wembanyama, the last half of this season, has been playing at an all NBA level. Just incredible what he's been doing. You know, two games ago, Denver could have wrapped up the West and wrapped up the first seed in the West. All they had to do was beat San Antonio, which has the worst record in the West. And Wembanyama just outplayed Jokic. He didn't dominate him, but he definitely outplayed him in that one game. And the Spurs managed to win. At one point, I think Wemby hit like 5 3-pointers in a row in the third quarter to get, I mean, this is a guy that's 7'5", hitting mm-hmm. 5 3-pointers in a row. He's shooting like 80% from the free throw line, which is just insane for any rookie. That's really good. For a center, that's incredible. For a 7'5" center, it's just, you know, we've never really seen anything like it. He gets these blocks that are just absolutely mind-boggling to watch him do this stuff. He leads the league this year in blocks by like a full block. I think he's averaging like 3.2 blocks per game or something along those lines, way ahead of the Rudy Gobert's of the world, who probably will win Defensive Player of the Year. It's been really incredible to watch him. And then knowing that if Wemby, if he didn't come out this year, Chet would have been a superb rookie of the year. Like, he would have been one of the best rookies of the year recently. That's just how much talent we have flooding into the league. And it's great to see it. I think it's going to set up for a really good postseason.
Well, even though Wemby's not in it, he was the...
Unfortunately, he's not in it. I'm glad that we got to talk about him, though. You know, like his first game in Madison Square Garden was a few weeks ago, which is a really intimidating environment for somebody that age. You know, it's a really big arena. It's really loud. It's New York. And he scored 40 points as a rookie. You know, it's just, it's really, if you haven't watched this year, just YouTube Wembanyama highlights. And it's stuff that you will have never seen before. Really exciting to watch him. He's had two games this year with 30 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 blocks in one game. He's done that twice.
Wow.
The only players to do that more than twice in their entire careers are Kareem, Hakeem, Shaquille, and David Robinson.
It's a fact.
They had to have their entire careers to do that. That's just where this guy is. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say that he's probably going to be the best player in the year or in the league, barring injury, within the next couple years, maybe by next year. I mean, he's that dominant. And it's fun to watch, especially if you're a Spurs fan.
Yeah, as long as he stays healthy, I think the Spurs have a bright future, especially when they're going to have a top draft pick probably this year as well.
But he's been healthy. I mean, that's the thing. He's, mm-hmm. you know, we worried so much about him and Chet, and him and Chet played all year long.
That's right. Chet didn't miss a game. We'll talk about the Thunder and Chet, because the Thunder were the top seed in the West, as Hillbilly will rightfully brag to you. I don't know if you called the number one seed, but you called the Thunder being pretty good at the beginning of the season. So I have to give you your flowers there.
I think I did say that they would compete for the West, that they had that kind of ceiling, that they could actually compete to win the West.
And they possibly and they could. Did. Yeah. Well, they won the regular season.
Yeah.
But before we get to the West, let's go to the East. Let's start our playoff predictions. We are going to break down all the teams that are in the Eastern Conference postseason and the Western Conference and predict the matchups, of course, because that's what you all are waiting for. So the standings after Sunday's final games of the season, the Celtics, as Hillbilly said, they ran away with first place. The Knicks are behind them in second. They won 14 less games than the Celtics did this season. Then you got the Bucks, the Cavaliers, the Magic, and the Pacers. Those are the automatic playoff teams. And then in the play-in, the 76ers, the Heat, the Bulls, and the Hawks. Those last three teams seem to always be in the play-in, or at least they were last year as well. So, yeah. But let's start with the play-in, because those are the first matchups we're going to see. We're going to see the Heat and the Sixers face off on Wednesday at 7, and the Hawks and the Bulls at 9:30 on Wednesday. Let's first talk about the 76ers and the Heat, Hillbilly. The 76ers might be the hottest team in the NBA, actually. They have the longest active winning streak. They've won their last 8 regular season games, and probably not coincidentally, Joel Embiid has come back from injury in those last games, and he's scored at least 24 points in all 5 of those games. He averaged 34.7 points per game in the games he did play this season, which would be the most in the NBA, but because there's the new rule on how many games you play for the MVP and all the other awards, it's not really up there. But he's been incredible. The Sixers lead the league in steals. They're second in free throw percentage. And besides Embiid, we talked about probably the last time you're on this podcast, Tyrese Maxey, and how he's become a star as well. So you got the Sixers, and then you also have the defending Eastern Conference champion Miami Heat. This is going to be an exciting first play-in matchup, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like the Heat have the Eastern Conference right where they want them. You know, I mean, this is just right where they were last year. And last year, the Heat lost their first game. And I think they're going to again this year. I think that the Sixers are just really on a roll. Embiid looks a lot better than I thought he would coming back from injury. He had enough time to kind of ramp it up. I think they're ready to go. They're a really tough team. And I don't know that the Heat are going to be able to deal with them. I think Embiid's just too much in the middle for him.
I think so, too. As it pains me to say, I think Miami's going to lose. But there's the other game in the East, the 9 and 10 seeds, the Hawks and the Bulls, who are always here, who I don't really have much on, Hillbilly. I don't know about you, because they're kind of there, because there's that gap with the Sixers and the Heat, and then in the standings, and the Bulls and the Hawks. So yeah. I've got the Bulls winning that game. I just chose the Bulls, to be honest. What about you?
Yeah, I think the Bulls will as well. They looked good against the Knicks in the last game of the year here, where the Knicks really, really needed the game, and they had to go to overtime to beat the Bulls. The Bulls have some really good talent on that team. DeMar DeRozan's had a really good year. He's probably going to be the clutch player of the year because he's just been incredible in the last 5 minutes. And they've got the Bulls are a good team. They're just not good enough to really compete. The Hawks, on the other hand, are a bit more of a mess. And I think that the Bulls will probably handle them.
No ice tray?
No ice tray.
What a shame. Either way, I think that whoever wins that game is probably going to lose to Miami in the third play-in game, which is Friday, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. All three of those games are on ESPN this week, actually. I think Miami, well, I guess they could surprise us. You remember they were losing to the Hawks 5 minutes to go in the second play-in game last year, so they could do whatever, but I see Miami winning that game, especially because they're going to be hosting that game as well.
Yeah, I think that the Heat are set up for it. I actually think the Heat have a better team than they did last year. Even though the record doesn't really show it, I think they've got a better point guard. They did a midseason trade for Terry Rozier. It was I think he's a great player for the Heat, much younger than Lowry, much more capable. And he's still kind of gelling with the team, but I think he's a big part of why they're going to be better. Duncan Robinson has been a lot better this year. Jimmy Butler has been coasting all regular season. So yeah. Either he's not any good anymore, or he's just been waiting for the playoffs. I think you still have to give him the benefit of the doubt after what happened last year, that he's just waiting for the playoffs. And I can't remember off the top of my head if Tyler Hero is expected or not, but you know, that would be another really good thing to happen for him if they could get him back. Either way, it's more than enough for them to take care of the Bulls.
You heard it here first, Joe. The Heat are better than they were last year, so they're clearly going to win the NBA Finals. Hillbilly, listen, a couple years ago, they lost to the Bucks in the first round. Then they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 7, they lose to the Celtics. And then last year, Game 7, they beat the Celtics, and they make the NBA Finals. So the only logical explanation would be that they win the NBA Finals. I'm glad you agree with me there.
Yeah, sure.
Let's stick with Miami, though, because we move out of the play-in and we go to the playoffs, actually the first round. So the 8 seed would face the 1 seed, the Celtics. And as we said earlier, the Celtics were historically dominant in the regular season. This is the first time they have the top seed in the East since the 2016-2017 season. And they were 14 games ahead of the second place New York Knicks, which is the largest lead over second place in the East since the Chicago Bulls in 1991 and 1992. There was a man named Michael Jordan on that team. Celtics probably don't have Michael Jordan-like player. They do have Jason Tatum, though, and he's pretty good, hillbilly. They were tied for the NBA's longest winning streak at 11 games this season, actually with the Houston Rockets. The Rockets didn't even make the playoffs. That's how good the West is. The Rockets right. would have been firmly in the play-in in the East.
Yeah, the Rockets are a really good team. They're the one team that it really is a shame they didn't make it in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about the Celtics, because they kind of coasted through the regular season 64-18. But especially if they have to face Miami in the first round, I mean, that's probably the first round matchup they do not want to see at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Heat are certainly not going to be afraid of them, no matter what happens. I mean, if the Heat get up 3-0 and then the Celtics come back and win the next three, then, you know, the Heat will win the last one, that's what happened last year. I mean, the Heat are going, I think they're going to be able to compete with the Celtics. And I think it's going to be a really interesting test for the Celtics early, because the question that we still have about the Celtics is whether or not they can really handle it in crunch time. Because if you've watched them enough, you've seen it. If the Celtics are like down to 10 seconds to go, Jason Tatum just dribbles the air out of the ball 5 feet behind the three-point line and then just jacks up a contested three. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world. And it's continued this year for the Celtics. They're better at it, but that's their issue. So if they're in close games, which I think the Heat will be able to get them into, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. If they're actually going to be better about it this year, and just if they could just run a pick and roll or something, you know, basic at the end of the game, it would be an improvement. What the Celtics want to do, though, is just barrage you with three-pointers. They led the league in three-point attempts this year. I think they shot about 42 of them per game, which was, I think, about four more than the next closest team. They just barrage us of three-pointers. And you know it's good when you're shooting that many three-pointers and you're still shooting. I think they were the second best percentage-wise. So they're shooting the most of them, and they're shooting them the most accurately. So what they're hoping is that they can just blanket every team with threes, and there won't be many close games. It'll be interesting to see, though, what happens. It'll also be interesting to see if the Heat can't stop them from doing that. But I think the Heat can. I think Spoelstra has the defensive players that he needs to make that happen. It'll be interesting to see it. I do think the Celtics are going to win. I don't think it's going to go to seven games either, but it'll be interesting to see how close the games are.
Yeah, I really wanted to say Miami, you know, because that's the only logical explanation is that they're going to win the finals this year. And I know the last 2 years we've doubted, we've both doubted them on this podcast, and they've proved us wrong time and time again, but I mean, the Celtics were just amazing this year.
Jimmy Butler, when you talk about the greatest players in the NBA right now, I don't understand how you can't include him. You know, what matters is what happens in the playoffs. And I can't think of anyone that has been better in the playoffs over the last 5 years than Jimmy Butler, including Giannis, Jokic, Tatum, any of them. What Butler does for that team is just incredible in the playoffs. But every once in a while, they do have a short run. Like the year the Bucks won the title, the Bucks beat them in the first round. And that's just, that does happen. But
yeah, it's just last year, I wasn't really impressed with what they did in the regular season. They did that. This year, I haven't really been impressed either. So I would not be surprised, and I don't think anybody should be surprised if you follow professional basketball at least a little tiny bit, if Miami actually won the series because they beat the Bucks last year as the eighth seed. But I agree with him. I think the Celtics are going to win. I think, and it honestly, I think it could go to seven games. And I think the Celtics, because they have the home court, they would win that game in the first round. Not even though Miami won that game seven in Boston last year.
That's true.
So again,
I know. With that I mean, game, don't you kind of get this feeling? Like, how many times do we have to learn this lesson? Like, how many times are we going to doubt that Butler will just get it done? But
yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know. I'd pick Boston, but I don't think I'd put any money on Boston. I'm not too confident, even though they were incredible.
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting, and I think it might actually be true, if Boston had their choice of the eight teams, one through eight, I think the Heat would have been their last choice to have to play. And they're stuck with them in the first round, even though they just had a historically good regular season.
Yeah. That's going to be a great series, I think. Like, it is.
What a way to start the playoffs. You know? Like, that's just wow.
Yeah. So there's both got the Celtics, sadly. But again, wouldn't be surprised if it's Miami. The 4v5 matchup in the East is Cleveland and Orlando. Orlando is in the playoffs for the first time since 2020, but they haven't advanced past the first round since Stan Van Gundy was their coach back in 2010. But I told you like 2 years ago when Paolo Banchero was coming into the league, watch out for this man. He's going to be pretty good. And now he's leading the Magic to the playoffs, who are third in defensive rating in the league. And then you've got Cleveland Hillbilly, who was fourth for the second straight season, but they lost to the Knicks in the first round last year. They haven't advanced past the first round since LeBron James was on their team in 2018. So because Cleveland now has a little bit more playoff experience, Donovan Mitchell, obviously, we've talked about, has played previously in the playoffs in Utah, I think I've got Cleveland in this matchup over an inexperienced Orlando team. But I will tell you that the Magic do have Jonathan Isaac, who, as we all know, God-fearing.
He is a God-fearing man. So we'll see how much that, you know, how much that impacts the game. Yeah, I think I agree with you that the Cavs will probably win this, but the Cavs have not really been, they had one tear in the middle of the season. Early in the season, it looked like the coach might actually be in trouble of losing his job. And then they just went on this tear where all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, Evan Mobley was hitting his threes. They were just doing everything that they needed to do. And now they're back to being kind of okay. You know, you mentioned the fact that they were their third or fourth in defense this year. Yeah.
The Magic are third. I don't know about the Cavs.
Actually, no, the Cavs are seventh. So they still have a good defense, but the offense is ranked 16th in the league, but the Magic is 17th. So, you know, these teams are kind of mirror images of each other. They play really, really good defense. Jonathan Isaac, you know, all theology aside, is a really terrifying defender. Like, he's really one of the best defenders in the league. He can't play that many minutes or he'll get hurt. But, you know, he's really good. Jalen Suggs has come on this year. You remember him from Gonzaga. He has turned into one of the best defensive guards in the league. He's tenacious. And then you put that with Banchero. Orlando's got a lot. I just think that when you have these two defensive juggernauts hit each other, they're probably going to be slow games. And I think a player like Donovan Mitchell is probably going to be able to get his shot better than anybody on Orlando. So I would put it with Cleveland, but I think it's going to be a really close matchup. Orlando is better than people just aren't familiar with Orlando yet. They've got a lot of really good players.
Yeah. I agree. I think it'll be, I've got Cleveland because, like I said, they have the experience in the playoffs now, while Orlando really doesn't. But that hasn't really deterred other teams before. So we could see it'd be close. Well, I want to move on to this next matchup, though, Hillbilly. 3v6, Bucks and Pacers. I'm just going to give it to you because you've got all the Milwaukee Bucks knowledge. I want you to spew it out to the world, buddy.
Yeah, I think the Pacers are going to beat them, which is crazy to say because I know I do tend to pick the Bucks. Giannis is hurt. They have looked like burning trash when Giannis is injured. Like, they just don't, nobody seems like they care unless he's playing. They got Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard has been good offensively. He might be, him and Trae Young are pretty much tied for worst defensive player in the league. He doesn't stop anybody. And then they've got Malik Beasley next to him, who also doesn't stop anybody. So they have no perimeter defense. Brooke Lopez, in the center position, looks like he's getting older. Chris Middleton is just a shell of the player that he's still actually okay offensively, but he can't keep up with anybody defensively anymore. It's just Giannis on the team. And Giannis has done everything that he can. I mean, if it wasn't for Jokic and Doncic, I think Giannis would be a runaway. I mean, Giannis is the only player in NBA history ever to average more than 30 points a game and shoot over 60% from the field.
That's a fact.
Nobody's ever done that. Not Wilt Chamberlain, not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, nobody has ever done that. It's just incredibly high volume of scoring at incredibly high efficiency. It's as valuable as you can possibly get. Coupling that with his defense, he has been superlative this year. Nobody else on the team has been anything more than maybe good. Damian Lillard is still a good offensive player. That's about it. He has got to be so frustrated. Milwaukee has made bad decision after bad decision the last 4 years. They haven't made a good draft pick since Dante DiVincenzo, which was like in 2018.
And he's not there anymore.
They just make bad pick after bad pick. They use their mid-level exception on players like Joe Ingles, who's not there anymore. They keep missing on every single shot they take. And I just don't know that Giannis, like, if I was him and his agent, and this is the teams that they're putting around them, I think I might want to try to get out. I mean, why would you? He just signed a contract, so it's tough to do it. But, if I was Giannis, I would say put me in like New York or something, like a big market like that where they've got a bunch of young players. New York's management now, the Knicks, they seem to have really figured out how to do this ever since Jimmy Dolan hired, the agents to become the general managers and really kind of let them do their business. They're doing great. I'm just frustrated as a big Giannis fan. And if I was him, I would seriously think about looking elsewhere. The Pacers destroyed them this season, and I think they're going to do the same thing again. Halliburton started off the year like he looked like he was going to be an MVP caliber player. Then he got hurt. He has not been the same since then. But I still think that the Pacers, their perimeter pressure is the weak spot for the Bucks. They have no perimeter defense, and they're just going to run up like 130, 140 points on them without much problem. I don't see the Bucks making it more than like a 5 or 6 game series.
Poor Milwaukee, poor Hillbilly Giannis. Giannis is averaging 30.4 points per game, which is second in the league. Like, he's still the big thing with Milwaukee, Hillbilly, this year was the coaching situation. When you talk about bad decisions. Yep. I know Adrian Griffin, whatever happened there, they fired him. But since they hired Doc Rivers, they've gone 17-19. They've been worse. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games.
They had the second seed locked up. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, nobody thought the second seed was competitive. Like, you could say, well, they could still mathematically lose it. Well, no, actually, they're still in actuality going to lose it. Like, they are going to lose to teams like the Wizards. Whoever you put in front of them, it doesn't matter. They're ready, especially if Giannis isn't playing. And, you know, Giannis is, as of today, injured. Like, if the game was played today, which it was, Giannis didn't play. So we'll see what kind of shape he's in. But even with him, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah. The Pacers were 4-1 against Milwaukee this season. And like you mentioned earlier, they were the runner up in the in-season tournament. But Indiana, they had the best, statistically the best offense in the league this season, which we mentioned earlier in previous podcasts as well. They scored the most points in a game this season, 157, which they scored in the last game of the season, just on Sunday. They had the most assists in a game. They had 50. And Tyrese Halliburton, like you said, got injured, but he's still top in the league in assists per game. He averages almost 11 points per game. And they also got Pascal Siakam to pair with Halliburton. So this is the first team to score 10,000 points in a season since the Nuggets back in 83 and 84. The Nuggets didn't advance past the first round. That was five-game series, so is it even really comparable? But because Indiana is just going to jack up a bunch of shots and they can make them, as we've shown, and Milwaukee's perimeter defense, like you said, is a little bit of a joke, I got Indiana too.
Yeah, it's sad.
So sad.
And then the final matchup in the East playoffs is New York, the Knicks, the second seed, going up against who we believe is going to be the seventh seed. It's going to be the winner of that 8-7 play-in matchup on Wednesday. But both of us think this is going to be the 76ers. And hopefully these are two of the hottest teams in the league. The Knicks have won their last five games, but the Sixers have won their last eight. And like we said, it's because probably Joel Embiid is back and he's playing really well too. We talked about on a previous podcast, we didn't know if he was even going to come back for the season, and oh, there goes the 76ers' chances. And that's why they're in the play-in, because they were without him for a large chunk of the season. But even without him, and he's going to be there, Tyrese Maxey, as we said, has still been incredible. They still have Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre Jr., and Buddy Hield, who played 84 games this season, which is two more than a usual team plays because he got traded. But New York, the Knicks, they got their most wins in a season since 2012-2013. That was back on the Carmelo run when they won 54 games. They've won five straight, and they are 19-2 in games where Jalen Brunson, an OG, and an OB played. Like, we were kind of worried about the Knicks when Julius Randle got injured. But because they got OG Anunoby to pair with Jalen Brunson, who's averaging the fourth highest points per game in the league, they overtook the Bucks, which a lot of people didn't think was possible a few weeks ago, like you said. But the Sixers are on another level right now. As I said, they're 8-2 in the last 10 games. So I think this is going to be another really good matchup, and I could see the Knicks winning it too. But I think I've got the seven seed. I think I got the 76ers winning this one.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think that the Sixers will probably take it. The Knicks, though, are really tough. And the Sixers traditionally have not been very mentally tough in the playoffs. And Embiid, you know, his playoff performance for his career has been abysmal. It's just the weird, even when he's rarely healthy for it. But even when he is, he just does not tend to do well. So it's going to be interesting to see. A big player for New York, they made a big midseason trade to get OG Anunoby, and it really helped their team a lot. It took them up another level defensively, and they really started streaking, you know, when they got him. He was injured recently. I haven't seen how good he looks since he's been back. I think they're going to be tough for the Sixers, but, you know, as good as Jalen Brunson is, and that's been the other revelation this year, is Jalen Brunson. I mean, he has just turned himself into a fringe MVP candidate. I mean, he's probably in most people's top 10 list on the season. Just unbelievable that the Mavericks let him go for absolutely nothing. You know, they got nothing in return for him. That's wow. But nothing's like Embiid. If he can finally turn it on in the playoffs, and maybe this is how it happens. He missed a huge part of the regular season because of the injury. maybe that'll actually wind up being less wear and tear on him. Maybe he'll be more fresh for the playoffs. Who knows? It would certainly be nice to see, because he's not getting any younger. He's at least 30. He might be 31. And with the way he gets injured, I don't know how long he's actually going to last. But I do think that the Sixers probably have too much for the Knicks.
Yep, 30-year-old Joel Embiid. We got some great matchups in the first round, Hillbilly. Look at this. I mean, Celtics, Heat, Cavs, Magic, Knicks, Sixers. And then, you know, you've got Bucks, Pacers. But
yeah. Well, that's the East. The West is even better.
We're talking about that. But let's move on to the second round. Our matchups. We picked, wow, we got all four that we said the same. How about that? One Celtics, four Cavs in the second round. Both of us have this. Who you got? I think it's, I personally, I mean, we said it could be Miami, so that could totally change the whole trajectory. But if Boston advances, I think it's kind of clear who would win this matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the Cavs are just not going to have the sustainable offense that they need against the Celtics. You know, the Cavs, they do have a really solid defense. It was top 10 again this year. The offense was 16th, like we talked about earlier. One of the things that was just so dominant from the Celtics this year, you know, we talk about how a good recipe for a championship team is a team that's in the top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating. You know, that means you've got a real shot. There are four of those teams this year. The Knicks actually are one of them. But anyways, the Celtics are first in offense and second in defense.
Yeah.
Only Minnesota had us a better defense, and Minnesota's defense was historically good this year. The Celtics had a absolutely elite defense to go with that. The Cavs are just not going to be able to sustainably score against the Celtics. I think the Celtics will run away with it.
Ooh, me too. Boston in that second round matchup. And then the other matchup, we both have the lower seeds, the 7 seed, the 76ers, and the 6 seed, the Pacers, which if this happens, would be really interesting, because you've got Indiana, who was the best offensive team in the league. I know Boston has the best offensive rating, but Indiana averaged the most points. And then you've got the Sixers, who are hot with Joel Embiid. But like you said, Joel Embiid in the postseason before hasn't been spectacular, is a word I'll use. But I also think that because he was injured for so long and that he's come back in these last couple games and he has done what he's done, maybe that helps them, and maybe that helps Philly. So honestly, I've got the Sixers beating the Pacers in the second round matchup.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I don't think that the Pacers have the interior ability to deal with. I mean, they do have a good center, the Pacers do, but it's just Embiid is on a completely different level when he's playing well. I mean, he was definitely going to be the MVP if he kept up the rate that he was going before he got injured. It was absurd what he was doing this year. Is he going to translate it? I do think that against the Pacers, who are just probably not going to be able to come up with the interior defense to really stop them, it's going to be kind of easy for them to go through the Pacers, I think.
Yeah, but those could be some high-scoring matchup with the Pacers just launching and the Sixers just bullying them inside. This could be some fun offensive performances. So both of us have in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics and the 76ers. What a rivalry matchup we've got. The NBA would love this, Boston and Philly. So who you got coming out of the East, Hillbilly?
I hate to go chalk, but I think that it's Boston. I think that they're just too well-rounded of a team. You know, Boston made these big moves in the preseason and kind of somewhat risky moves. Getting Porzingis, I mean, Porzingis was basically thrown away by Dallas, which, boy, Dallas, if they had just kept Porzingis and Jalen Brunson,
my God.
But Porzingis has had an incredible year. He's been so good for them. He's such a huge step up in allowing Horford to come up off the bench. Derek White is another guy that's at an all-star level for them. Jaylen Brown, the richest man in the NBA, or at least the richest contract in NBA history, he signed in the offseason. He earned it. He had his best year this year. He's all NBA level. And then, of course, Tatum just continues his steady climb. Their top six players are just head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, the Celtics this year, I'm trying to see, where did they wound up? They wound up with a net rating of 11.4, meaning they scored 11.4 more points than their opponent on average. Mm-hmm. That is, I can't remember now. I think that is actually now the second highest. Anyways, I think that they've scaled back a little bit. That was the highest point differential since the Jordan Bulls. So higher than Golden State. I mean, just blowing everybody out. And teams that have that kind of a high point differential at the end of the season tend to do very well. You know, I think the Warriors had an 11.6, so they did actually wind up with a better one. But they won the finals. And, you know, the year before that, they lost in the finals, but, you know, it was that crazy year with Cleveland, where they were also, you know, up towards there. Anytime the team scores or has more than a 10-point differential, they usually have a pretty good chance. And the Boston's right up there.
Yeah, I might be looking at the same website you are actually right now. But Boston was 11.4. The Warriors in 2017 was 11.6. They won the title. The 95-96 Bulls was 12.2. The 70-71 Bucks was 12.2. And the 71-72 Lakers was 12.2. That's pretty good company to be in, honestly. I mean, like we said, the Celtics have been incredible this year. And that's why I also have them advancing past the 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals to go to the finals for the second time in 3 years. This would also be third straight year Celtics are in the finals or the Eastern Conference Finals. So they've been really good for a while now, because we remember back when LeBron was still in Cleveland, the Celtics team with Tatum and Brown was in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so this could be their best shot at the title, potentially, because they haven't won one since 2008.
Yeah, the Celtics have just been one of the more well-managed teams in the league for a long time. Danny Ainge did a phenomenal job with them. You know, got them a championship in 2008. I mean, it helped that Kevin Garnett came over and Ray Allen stopped by for a while, at least. But, you know, a lot of that was Danny Ainge putting that together. And then when those players got old, he had one of the most lopsided trades in NBA history. And he traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who just couldn't play basketball anymore. They were done. And those draft picks that he got from the Nets turned into Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, that's just phenomenal general managing. And he's just kept it up through the years. And then when Danny Ainge left, Brad takes over and he does a fantastic job bringing in guys like Derek White and Porzingis and just creating this really, really good team. It's a good time to be a Celtics fan, because they probably are the most well-managed team over the last 20 years.
When is it not a good time to be a Celtics fan, honestly? The 2008 team, last time they won the finals, they had a 10.2 point differential. So I'm just saying, they're in good company. We got the Celtics going to the NBA Finals out of the East. Let's go to the West. I have a feeling we're not going to agree on every pick for the West, but that's okay, because the West, the East, we talked about the Celtics and there's everybody else, and everybody else is really competitive. But the West was super close, especially at the top. There were three teams on the final day of the regular season who all had a chance at the number one seed. And we talked about the Warriors, who won the NBA Finals 2 years ago and are 10th and still have a bunch of the same players like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. And they are the last team in the play-in. So let's go through the standings real quick. The Thunder are the top seed in the West, followed by the Nuggets. The Thunder got a tiebreaker over the Nuggets. They both have the same record. The defending champion defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets, by the way. The Timberwolves were just one game behind them in third. And then you've got the Clippers, the Mavericks, and the Suns, Those three teams are separated by two games. And then in the play-in, the Pelicans, the Lakers, they've got LeBron James, the Kings, who were third last year, and the Warriors, of course. So let's start in the play-in before we move to the playoffs here in the West. The 8th seed are the Lakers. They'll face the 7th seed, the Pelicans. This is the first play-in game on Tuesday at 7:30 on TNT. Pelicans, Hillbilly, have gone 5-5 in their last 10 games. But Zion's played in 69 games this season, so he's been active for this team. But the Lakers, LeBron, in his 21st season in the league, 25 points a game. Anthony Davis played in over 75 games for the first time in his career, which might not bode well for the playoffs. That might mean he might exit out early in the playoffs, but he was once again, he was top five in the league in both rebounds and blocks per game. He had almost 2.5 blocks per game. So I really can't bet against LeBron James in the play-in, so I got to go with the Lakers over the Pelicans.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I think people are familiar with the Pelicans, and they're a very good team, and they could definitely beat the Lakers here. Zion, like you said, he did. He played 69 games this year, which is just incredible for him. He's eligible for the postseason awards, but he didn't really have that great of a year. And that was, we talked about this earlier. It was, and I called it one of the bigger disappointments, because here we finally have Zion, and he's not getting better. He's actually, you know, his numbers are down this year. His career scoring average is 24.8. He's down to 23 this year. His field goal percentage, which is a really big part of what makes him so valuable, is just how efficient he is from the field. His career was 59.3, which is really stupidly good. And that's down to 57.4 this year. The bigger problem that they have right now, though, is Brandon Ingram's out. And even if he's going to be back for the playoffs, I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. I think he is expected back, but they really need his 1-2 punch. CJ McCollum has done a really good job of stepping up without Brandon Ingram. The guy's been hitting 47.2 of his threes in the last 10 games. That's insane. He's almost hitting 50% of his three-pointers. But he, without Brandon Ingram, I think that they're probably going to get bogged down by the Lakers. And as much as I hate to admit it, I think you have to expect that LeBron will probably, I mean, with that level of experience with him and Anthony Davis, you just got to figure they'll find a way to get it done.
The Lakers, how about that? I mean, LeBron's LeBron. Bronny is coming to the NBA next year. Did you know that? He shouldn't be. He shouldn't. He did not have a good year at USC.
I think he's just in the portal, right?
He is, but I think he also declared for the draft. He can withdraw.
Right.
But he he declared for the draft.
But some team's going to pick him in the second round just so they can get LeBron.
Yeah.
So he'll go somewhere. I mean, if I was a team like the Spurs or the Thunder that have a billion draft picks, I would just say, yeah, I'll use a first rounder, a late first rounder on them, you know, yeah, and just see what happens. And then, because imagine if you just added LeBron James to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm. Yeah. Talk about them in just a second. The Warriors are the 10 seed. They will face the Kings, the 9 seed, in Sacramento, Tuesday, 10 o'clock TNT. If you remember, last year, the Warriors and the Kings faced off in the first round. Sacramento went absolutely insane. It was a 7-game series. The Warriors barely won it in 7 games. And by the way, Sacramento only won 2 less games than they did last year, which is a testament to the West, because they were the 3rd seed last year. And now they're the 9th seed, and they only won 2 less games, which is absolutely crazy. And they're facing the Warriors, so Billy, who they have experience against, but the Warriors have experience in the play-in, not even talking about the playoffs, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, I mean, that core group has more playoff experience than just about anybody ever. I mean, they've been going deep in the playoffs forever. They, as you said, they just won the finals 2 years ago. So, you know, they're a ready team. They did kind of have a down year. Klay Thompson's not what he used to be. He's just not the defensive stalwart that he used to be, and that really hurts him. And Draymond's actually had a pretty good year when he's not, you know, punching people.
He didn't do that as much this year. I mean, you remember
he basically punched what was his name? I mean, he made it look like a defensive play, but you know, he's
that was only one time though. Please, yeah. Come on.
Well, regardless, you never know with him. I mean, you know, we talked about a little bit that Cleveland team that beat Golden State in the finals years ago. That was because Draymond, reasons was because Draymond punched LeBron James in the groin, you know, and it totally, the Warriors were killing them through that point. And it completely changed the trajectory of the series. That can happen with them anytime. But the Kings have real problems. They are without two of their big scorers in Herter and Malik Monk. Malik Monk's probably going to get player or sixth man of the year. Really valuable. The Kings, what they do is they just crush you with the offense, this relentless offense. And when you take a couple pieces out there, I think it starts to show up. The problems that they have defensively, where they were only 17th this year, they've really trailed off towards the end of the year here. I think the Warriors are not going to have that much trouble with them.
46 and 36, both of those teams, which would have been good enough. I mean, the Kings were third last year when they had 48 wins. Goes to show you the West is crazy this year. So we both have the Warriors and the Lakers winning. The Lakers would then move on to be the seventh seed. The Warriors would move on to face the loser of that first game, which would be the Pelicans. This game would be Friday at 10 o'clock on TNT. Warriors and Pelicans. Hillbilly, I don't know how you can go against Steph Curry, so I got the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd actually take in the Pelicans here.
A disagreement.
The Pelicans, you know, we talked about being in the top 10 in both defensive and offensive efficiency. The Pelicans were right there. They were the 11th best offense and the 6th best defense. And it's always surprising when people look at the Pelicans, they're like, wow, they were the 6th best defense, because Zion is not really known for his defensive play, nor is Valanciunas in the middle or Brandon Ingram. But they do have, like, Herb Jones is one of the best defenders in the league, and he can do it all. And they just buy into their defensive system. They're really good at it. Zion, when he is motivated, is a guy that can get a bucket. I think that Steph is going to have a hard time getting over the hump. I mean, this is a one-game series. You know, it's the play-in, which, again, the West, it's just – This Western playoff roster is the best I've ever seen. Like, every single team, you know, the Kings are probably the weakest team in the bunch, but every other team just really is ready to just do some things. And I think the Pels can too, especially if Brandon Ingram gets back and is healthy. I think they'll have too much for the Warriors.
All right. 10-7. We both think our first disagreement of the podcast. How about that? We're probably going to have a couple others, because West is going to be a little wild. So let's go to the playoffs, Hillbilly. The top seed in the West is the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is the first time since 2012-2013 that the Thunder finished first in the West. Of course, you remember who was on that team. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. Thunder had the second youngest team in the NBA this season. They went 57-25, and it is the youngest team ever to be a number one seed, headlined by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has rightfully been in the MVP conversation. He was third in the league in points per game. He averaged 2 steals a game, which is number one in the league. Mm-hmm. And Chet Holmgren, who we talked about, rookie of the year. Okay, he didn't play his rookie year because he got injured, so I don't know why they would say that.
His first year. It's his rookie year.
Whatever. Okay.
No, he's eligible for the award.
He was still pretty good, though.
Yeah, he was great. you know, this is what really, like, the crescendo of excitement with the Thunder. You know, it kind of started with, okay, they looked really good last year. They've got all these draft picks. Shai Gilgeous made his big leap last year, where he became one of the very best players in the league. And it was just really exciting to see a team that already has a number one, you know, like a guy that can be the best player, on a championship team, which they already have in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they, with all the draft picks that they had. And Jalen Williams had had a really exciting rookie year. And now we come into this next year and we have Chet Holmgren coming in, who we're thinking, like, you know, he should be at least okay, you know, pretty good. And then in that summer league, he looked so good. And in the preseason, he looked so good. And you're thinking, okay, it's just summer league. Like, it doesn't count. We will see. And then it turns out that he's actually just a phenomenal player and a really modern center. Like, you know, he's a guy that can really stretch the floor, shooting a very high percentage all year long. We kept thinking it would trail off, never really did. You know, he's still shooting, but I think 37%, which, you know, I always remind people, like, Kevin Durant in his rookie year shot below 30% from the 3-point line. You know, Chet's shooting 37% his rookie year, shooting 80% almost from the free throw line. Just in 2.3 blocks. I think he's probably like fourth in the league in blocks and could make the all defensive team. Just that good. That's when things started getting really exciting. And then we go into the season and we see Jalen Williams is just adding to the year that he had last year. He is a borderline all-star now in his second year. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to come in third or fourth in MVP voting this year. And he added to the offensive skill set that he has. He's now an elite defender. As you said, he led the league in steals. And that can be a misleading stat sometimes. Like, Russell Westbrook was famous for that too. Like, he just, yeah, if you play really stupid defense, you'll get a lot of steals because people won't expect you to be there because it's stupid for you to be in a certain spot. You know, and it just would happen. And so it's been a misleading statistic. But if you watch Gilgeous-Alexander play, that's not it. He's just got these really long arms. And he's 6'6", which is huge for a point guard. And he's now just wrapping up the opposing team's playmakers. And he's just, it really adds a lot to it. So you put all this together, it's super exciting watching the Thunder go. I don't think they're going to have any trouble with the Pels.
Pels. Well, I'm picking the Warriors in my matchup for three reasons. Number one, I don't know if you watched March Madness, but there was this AT&T commercial that came on basically every game, every commercial break, yeah, with Shai Gilgeous and Chet Holmgren singing. Yeah. It was horrific. I couldn't stand it. It was terrible. That's number one. Number two, more of a basketball thing, because the Thunder have been really good, but we've seen one seeds crash out of the playoffs after they've had a really good season. And if they face the Warriors, as we know, the playoffs are a different animal, and basically nobody on the Thunder has any experience in the playoffs. And number three, because I made a bet with another member of this podcast family, our college basketball person, Andrew, that the Thunder were going to lose in the first round. So I have to pick the, have to pick the Warriors.
Yeah. I just don't, the Thunder have everything they need to throw at the Warriors, and the Warriors, you know, what people are worried about with the Thunder is size. We have, ridiculed, Chet Holmgren for basically looking like a Halloween decoration.
That's true.
I mean, the guy looks like he weighs about 190 pounds because he doesn't weigh much more than that, even though he's like 7'1". And then after him, they start Jalen Williams at power forward. Jalen Williams is only like 6'5". They are really, really small after that. I mean, SGA is big for his position, but the Warriors can't really capitalize on that, though. They don't have any real big players either. I mean, Draymond's not much taller, if at all, than Jalen Williams. And they don't really have a guy to really punish Chet Holmgren for being, you know, so slight. I think the Thunder are going to be able to do the things that they want to do against that team. They can throw defenders. Like, Lu Dort is a top-notch defender. Jalen Williams is. SGA is. They can just keep throwing those guys at Steph Curry, who is really the only reliable scorer for them. I don't think the Thunder have too much trouble with them.
All right, Hillbilly, whatever you say with your basketball prowess. That's the 1v8 matchup. How about the 4v5, the Clippers and the Mavericks, Hillbilly? I know you're very excited about the Mavericks because they have Luka Doncic, and Luka Doncic has once again been incredible. He averages 33.9 points per game, which is the most in the league. He's probably going to get second behind Jokic for MVP. And he's made the second most three-pointers in the league this season, only behind Steph Curry, which you would expect. But he's number two, 284. He averages almost 10 assists per game. He's close to averaging a triple-double, honestly. He's almost at 10 rebounds per game and 10 assists per game. 10 assists, or 9.8 assists per game, is second in the league. And you also have Kyrie. Kyrie hasn't done anything, you know.
He hasn't done anything except play great basketball this year. So, that's the thing with Kyrie. Like, he has not done anything wrong, and he's been great all year for them. It's weird to watch it.
That's right. And then you've got the Clippers, and the Clippers have Kawhi and Paul George, and they've both been healthy. This is the most wins that this team has had in the Kawhi Paul George era, 51, which isn't saying much, but in the West, it does say a lot. And then James Harden is there as well. He averages the fourth most assists in the league at 8.5. Russell Westbrook is contributing off the bench, whether he likes it or not. This is really tough for me, Hillbilly. And I know you're going to disagree with me, but I have got the Clippers winning this series over the Mavericks.
Yeah. Well, if Kawhi Leonard was, if I knew that he was going to play and that he was going to play well, I might agree with you. But without Kawhi, Doncic is so good. I think the MVP voting may be really close because he has just put it on at the end of the year. And he just has this like aura about him that like there's just nothing that can stop him. And you put that with Kyrie, the Mavericks had a great trade deadline this year, bringing in. Yeah, and people kind of mocked it a little bit, but they got just what they needed. They brought in Daniel Gafford as a center. He has solidified the paint for them. Having, you know, they made a great draft pick early this year with Derek Lively, but Lively's a rookie. You don't want him as your starter in the playoffs. Having him and Gafford, they've completely solidified their center. They also got PJ Washington, who's another really good player, big upgrade for them at that position. Like I said, Kyrie has been nothing but a good teammate.
Wow.
Nothing this year bad at all. He still doesn't really play much defense, but you know, there's plenty of players that, you know, are kind of like that, but he's still just unstoppable offensively. He's had some plays this year that just really looked silly. And you couple that with Luka, and then the Clippers, you know, you still have playoff P. But other than that, not having Kawhi Leonard is just going to, I think it's going to kill them. They really have got to have him if they're going up against a team that has someone like Doncic.
That man better play. That man, listen, Kawhi, please help me.
I don't think he's expected to, is he?
It's up in the air, apparently.
Yeah, I think it is.
We all know.
Which is not good with Kawhi. And it sucks because Kawhi is one of my very favorite players. But
the claw.
It just sucks.
All right. 4v5, Clippers and Mavericks. 3v6, Timberwolves and Suns. Like I mentioned, Hillbilly, Timberwolves were just a game behind the Thunder and the Nuggets, who we still have yet to talk about, the defending NBA champions. And they had the second most wins in a season in franchise history. They had 56. They won 58 in 2003, 2004, back in the day with Kevin Garnett. But then you've also got the Suns. This is the first full season of Durant, Booker, and Beal. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal playing together. And that was okay, I guess, because they won 49 games, which was only a couple games behind the Clippers and the Mavericks, and they beat the Timberwolves by 19 points in the final regular season game, and they'll face them again in the first round. So I think this is kind of an interesting matchup because the Suns have that experience, but together, maybe not so much. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Suns, I think the only way to describe this year is a disappointment. I mean, I don't think it was okay. I mean, they got in the playoffs, fine, but
it did take until the final day for them to solidify they were going to be in the playoffs and not the regular season and not the play-in.
Right. And they just never really did put together a stretch this year where it was like, oh man, they are really putting it together. They would have games where they do, you know, where you're like, oh, there it is. That's what it looks like if you have Beal and Booker and Durant. Like, what do you do against those guys, especially Booker and Durant? Durant, like, he's still one of the very best players in the league. I don't think he's what he used to be. But he is still definitely very, very much up towards the top of the league. And Booker, you know, phenomenal. But other than that, they don't really have that much. Beal missed most of the season. When he has been in there, he's been good, not necessarily great. They don't have a lot of perimeter defense. You know, they waved goodbye to DeAndre Ayton, the former number one overall draft pick, for so they could replace him with Nurkic, who just is like a tree trunk out there now. He's not really able to move much, so they wind up just not playing him a lot. And they wind up playing Durant at center a lot, which Durant doesn't like. I think it's pissing him off. And beyond it's making Durant angry, besides that, it's also just wearing him down. He's undersized for it, and it's been a big problem for them. So they're going to go up against the Timberwolves, who have more size than anybody.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a really, really big problem for them. I mean, you've got 2 7-footers that start on the same team in Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, because Towns is back, I believe, or at least he will be back for the playoffs. And they've got a great backup in Naz Reid, too, at the center. And, you know, the Jaden McDaniels, who looks like he's 7 feet out there with his wingspan, but he's playing the 3 and locking up point guards, a phenomenal defender. And then Anthony Edwards himself is, you know, he's only 6'4", I think, but he's just built like a tank and a really powerful dude. They are really ideally situated to give the Suns big, big problems. And I think that the Suns just have this malaise over them where I don't think they're going to get up for it. You know, it was only a few games ago that the Clippers lost at home. They had all their players, everybody was playing, and they were going up against the Clippers in a really, really big matchup when the Suns still had a chance of getting up there even towards like the 4 seed. And the Clippers didn't have Kawhi, they didn't have Harden. And the Suns had everybody. At the end of the first quarter, the score was 35-4.
Oh, that's right. I saw. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's
terrible.
That's like, I mean, if an NBA team played a team that was like on the bubble for March Madness, you know, you might expect a quarter like that, where that is truly, and it just looked like the Suns didn't care, you know, and I just don't think they're going to be able to take that kind of attitude in there. The problems with size and defense that they have. I don't know. I think that the Timberwolves are going to be way too powerful for them.
Yeah, I agree. I got the Timberwolves as well. Even though the Suns, they went 3-0 against the Timberwolves this year. But I love watching Anthony Edwards. He is fun to watch. And the Timberwolves had the best defensive rating in the league this season, 108.1.
By good measure, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are clear, far and away the best defense.
So I like Minnesota. I'm glad we finally agreed on something in the West. We both like the Timberwolves over the Suns. And then the second seed, Hillbilly, the Denver Nuggets, will face who we believe is going to be the Lakers. It'll be the winner of that 7-8 play-in matchup. I think we'll agree on this one as well, because I have the defending NBA champions. Nikola Jokic is probably going to win MVP. They could vote. If they voted in Luka Doncic, I don't think many people would be disappointed, because he's been incredible. But Jokic, again, 26.5 points per game, 12 rebounds, 4th in the league, 9 assists per game, which is 3rd in the NBA for him. And then you've got, again, players who have won the NBA title: Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. They're second in the West, but they were tied with the Thunder for the best record. They were once again great. So I like the Nuggets against the Lakers. Maybe in a sweep, honestly. I don't think that'll be as good of a 2v7 matchup as we have in the East. I like the Nuggets.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think that there's that much different than, you know, from just if it feels like just a few months ago when they were playing in the conference championship last year. And the Nuggets swept them. It was a competitive sweep, as I think it's Tim McMahon on ESPN gave them the bronze broom because the most competitive sweep in NBA history. You know, it's like, wow. But I mean, they were competitive games, but it also just looked like the Nuggets knew that when it came down to it, they were going to be able to get really efficient shots and the Lakers weren't. And they're going to be able to close out the game. And that's what they did. And I think they're going to do the same thing this year. I mean, the Nuggets don't quite have the bench that they had last year. And that's kind of problematic for them. And it can be problematic in the playoffs if you have these lulls that come out of it. But the bench is coming along. You know, they've got, you know, Christian Brown is playing very well. He had a massive dunk on Rudy Gobert in a really meaningful game 2 games ago. Actually, he had a couple. And Peyton Watson looks like just an incredible pick for the Nuggets when they picked him up. You know, I'd never heard of the guy, but apparently he was in the top 5 overall recruiting out of high school. And just, he's one of the most amazing athletes you will ever see. And he just did not do well in college. It was the COVID time. And, you know, the Nuggets took a shot on him. And this year, you know, Google or do a YouTube search for Peyton Watson blocks. He has the best blocks all year, I think. Like the year where everyone was gushed, or there was a week where everyone was gushing about this block that Anthony Davis had. And it was really cool. But Peyton Watson, that same game, had one where he jumped over Jokic so that he could block and pin somebody's shot on the backboard. I mean, he's really something else. You know, they've got some good players coming up. I don't see any reason why it won't kind of look like it did. I think there'll be close games, but I think the Nuggets will win it within 5.
Nuggets in the first round, the defending NBA champions. I know I've said that a lot, but it's true. They won the championship for the first time in franchise history last year. So to the second round, we got some. Well, our second matchup is the same. Our first matchup is, whoa, you've got the Thunder and the Mavericks, I believe. I have the Warriors and the Clippers. So, Thunder and Mavericks for you, Hillbilly. Do you've got the upstart Thunder or clean Kyrie?
Yeah, I it's really close here. I think the Mavericks are maybe the third best team in the West right now. And I was kind of hoping that the Thunder weren't going to get them because I could not help but root for the Thunder this year, just the whole story. So it's a really, really tough matchup. I think I am going to go with the Thunder just because I think that the Mavericks are still a little bit too uneven. And I don't know that they can really take advantage of the lack of size that the Thunder has. I mean, Daniel Gafford's good, but he's not like a Jokic, Embiid type, or, you know, Anthony Davis or anything, where he can really push him around. The Thunder were very solid all year. And, you know, again, we talked about being in the top 10 defensively, offensively, and in your net rating, just overall. The Celtics were so fantastic because they were first in offense, second in defense, and most years probably would have been first in defense. The Thunder were also pretty phenomenal in this regard. They are the third best offense in the league and the fourth best defense. So most years, that is good enough for that you are in serious contention for the title. I think that kind of just a well-rounded game that they have, where they have so many good defenders and shooters, they had the highest field goal percentage in the entire league this year. It was actually one of the highest, if not the highest, in league history. And you've got it all spearheaded by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I could be wrong, but I really believe that his game is going to translate very well in the playoffs. We haven't really seen it yet because he's never been on a decent team before in the playoffs like he is now. But that guy can get a shot anytime he wants. He lives on these mid-range jumpers where he just does this one last little herky-jerky move to get an open shot, and he hits it at such an incredible pace. He's a very, very efficient scorer. I think he's got the type of offensive game that's going to work in the playoffs that can counterbalance the storm that you're going to get hit with Doncic and Irving. I think the Thunder are going to win it, but I think it's going to be an incredible series.
I'd like to watch that, but I also like to watch Warriors and Clippers. So that's who I've got.
See, I'm not as interested to watch that one. Although I think most Americans probably are.
Yeah, of course. But I would have the Clippers winning that one. Again, I'm banking on my guy, Kawhi the Claw, please come back. But the Warriors, they were still a pretty good team. 25-16 on the road is tied for the best in the West this season with the Mavericks, actually. And a little stat on Draymond Green. He became the fourth player in NBA history to record a double-double on Friday without scoring a single point, which... Oh.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's super helpful for your team. But the Clippers with Kawhi, if he can play, and Paul George and James Harden, in that matchup, I would go with the Clippers to beat the Warriors.
Yeah, the Clippers had a good year. I mean, they kind of fell apart a little bit towards the end. But, you know, for most of the year, we were talking about the top four in the West, not the top three. Because the Clippers actually were in first place for a little while. And then it just, they started falling off. But Harden was having a really, really good season, which was really interesting because, you know, it looked like such a desperation move by the Clippers to get Harden. And I think it was the right, I mean, obviously it was the right move. I think it was I thought it was at the time because they had to try. You know, they were kind of at the end of the rope with this team anyways. And Harden is, you know, at least for a while there, he was leading the league or close to leading the league in the assists, except for Halliburton. Just really, really efficient team-oriented ball. When Kawhi is playing, you've got two elite wing defenders who can basically guard anybody. Russell Westbrook is perfect for the bench. Always brings energy. If they have everything put together, yeah, I agree. I think that they're going to be too much for the Warriors.
I'm hoping. Let's hope. So, 2v3 matchup. Both of us have this one. Nuggets and Timberwolves also in the second round. This would be a really interesting matchup, I think, because you've gotten the Nuggets and Jokic, who might be the best player right now, and the Timberwolves, who have one of the most exciting players to me, Anthony Edwards. But again, down low, Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, who I remember when that trade happened a couple years ago, we kind of were like, what are the Timberwolves doing? This doesn't make much sense on this podcast, but it's turned out pretty well for them. But in that matchup, I got to go with the Nuggets, who are third in the league in assists. Jokic, a big contributor of that. He's third in the league in assists, I think I mentioned earlier, and the experience he has around him. So I'm going to go with the Nuggets. But I think that would actually be a really good series with the Timberwolves, possibly seven games.
Well, I mean, the Nuggets said after they won the championship last year, they said that the Timberwolves were the toughest team that they played in the playoffs. Even though the Timberwolves only won one game last year, they played them really, really hard. And luckily for the Nuggets, McDaniel broke his hand early in the series when he punched a wall, which, you know, you got to anticipate he's not going to do that again. And the Wolves they're really good. Anthony Edwards has made a step up. I do think that Anthony Edwards is a little overhyped. Like, you can kind of taste just how much the media needs a young American star because they have none. I mean, it's only getting worse, the level of international versus American talent. Yeah. You know, now that Wemby looks like he's going to be an MVP, it's like, where are the great American players coming from? I mean, Chet does look really good, but I don't know that he's going to ever be at that level. So they're really kind of coalesced around Anthony Edwards. His numbers are not really that much better than they were last year. They're better, but they're not that much better. They're in offense. The Wolves still have problems. I mean, their defense, like we said, number one with a bullet. It's by more than 2 points better than the next best team, which is the Celtics. That's really incredible. And, you know, the Celtics were well above the third team. But offensively, they've had problems all year. I think that they're 17th in the league on offense. They really only have two consistent scorers. That's Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. And Edwards is still really young, really prone to doing stupid things. He's not the volume scorer yet that I think everybody's hoping that he will turn into. I think he's still averaging like 24 or so, which is really good. But it's not like he's one of those 30 point per game players. And they don't really have a lot of the other offense to go around with it. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns can go off on any given night. But, you know, it's interesting with Karl Anthony Towns. He had a game a few months ago where I think he scored 62. You know, it was one of those really just huge career nights, you know, where he just puts up unbelievable numbers. And everybody was annoyed with him on the team. You know, it was weird to watch the body language around him, but all of the other teammates, like, they weren't like congratulating him. Like, you know, if a teammate had a 62-point game, you expect everybody to just be going wild for you. You know, like, wow. Instead, everyone just kind of looked like they were annoyed until the coach actually benched him. You know, at the end of a 62-point game, he got benched. Like, that's humiliating. I, you know, things like that just kind of make me wonder about the chemistry of the team a little bit too. I just don't think they're ready. And going up against a team like Denver, Denver is number one in the league in clutch play now.
Nice fact.
And I do think that has got to be the most important predictor when it comes to playoff success, because there are so many more close games. And if you have a team that Jokic can guarantee you will get a good shot at the end of the game, like, there won't be any of that Jason Tatum dribbling the air out of the ball, throwing up a contested three. They are going to get a good shot. And more often than not, over a 7-game series, that's going to wind up winning. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen with the Timberwolves, but I think it's going to be another just incredible series.
Okay, Hillbilly. So you're going chalk in the West, the number one seed, the Thunder, number two seed, the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Who you got?
I think the Nuggets will win. I think this is the point that we're going to get to with the Thunder, where, you know, you mentioned the Thunder are the second youngest team in the league. I think the first youngest was it Detroit? It's either Detroit or San Antonio, which really those teams are horrible.
Different you know? Trajectories.
Yeah, they're just awful. You never, ever, ever see this. Like, I don't think there's another team this young that has ever had this kind of success before. And they have no playoff experience. I mean, we talked about when they were playing the Warriors, you know, the relative lack of playoff experience. I mean, there's probably three players on the Warriors who each have way more playoff experience than the entire Oklahoma City roster combined. I mean, just nobody's done it. Going up against Denver, Jokic is going to be able to push Holmgren around. That's going to be a problem for them. I think that's going to be where we finally see the Thunder fold.
So I've got the Nuggets and I've got the Clippers. And for me, I think that last year before the season, I picked the Clippers, or at some point last year before the playoffs, At some point, I picked the Clippers because I was like, this has to happen at some point, you know?
Yeah, we've all been there. I did it 1 year too, because it was like, it has to happen.
It has to happen. You got a feel for my guy, the richest owner in the NBA, Steve Ballmer. So in that matchup, and I know Jokic would be a massive problem for the Clippers, but I got to go with the Clippers over the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, because it has to happen at some point, Hillbilly, you know?
Well, I would love to see it. Kawhi is due for it, and yeah. it would be great to see.
I'm hoping. So there you go. Eastern Conference done. Western Conference done. Hillbilly, we've got one more series to pick. That is the NBA Finals. I've got the Celtics and the Clippers. You've got the Celtics and
The Nuggets. Yeah.
Yes. So, because I, of course, picked the champion correctly last year, Denver Nuggets, thought you'd all want to hear my prediction. So, in this matchup, this would be the first finals appearance for the Celtics since 2 years ago, 2022. They've won 17 championships previously, but none of them since 2008. It would be the first finals appearance in franchise history for the Clippers, who have not had much postseason success in their history. And the last time that a four seed, which the Clippers are, was in the NBA finals was the Celtics in 2010, when they lost to Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. So in the finals, I know this is chalk, and the last time that the best team, the team with the best record, won the NBA finals was 2017, the Warriors. But I think it's going to happen this year. I think the Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the advanced statistics say they have the best offense in the league. They were the most well-rounded team this season by far. We talked about the net rating and how that has historically good, and how teams at that level, usually more often than not, teams at the 12, 11, 10 point differential margin win the NBA finals. So I got the Celtics beating the Clippers and winning their first championship since 2008.
Judge Xander.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of stole my thunder there because I was ready to go with that. Because I think it's an interesting stat that shows the parity of the NBA, right? That the team with the best regular season hasn't won since the 2016-17 Warriors. Every other year. You know, last year the Nuggets were fifth, then the Warriors were fourth, Bucks were seventh. Then the Lakers third and Raptors second. Like it's interesting. Like it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't happen, obviously. That's silly, but it's not a foregone conclusion. And it's difficult as you look at that to try to figure out like, well, what are really the best predictors? You know, I think the one thing that we do is with recency bias, we start to think like I'm so excited about the Mavs now, and I'm trying to remind myself that like it's, well, they're just really good right now. But does that translate, you know, to success in the playoffs? And, you know, it really doesn't. Last year, the Nuggets were 12 and 11 after the All-Star break, barely 50%. You know, the Warriors the year before that were 10 and 13. You know, if you actually look back through the last five, the winning percentage of the team that eventually won the championship after the All-Star break, if that sentence made any sense, was only 55%, which is, you know, obviously very barely above league average, you know, but not anything impressive. Like how hot you are right now doesn't really, you know, go towards, or at least that much towards your future playoff success. And, you know, it's weird when you try to look through the things like what are the ones that really make a difference and what can do it. It's really difficult to see. I mean, as we talked about with records, that doesn't necessarily show it. So then is it like team defense? Like, do you have to have a top 10 defense? No, you don't, because last year the Nuggets did it with the 15th best defense. How about like with offense? Well, you know, the year that the Warriors last won, their team offensive rating was only 16th. They were not actually, they were barely a below average team in the NBA offensively. It just didn't really wind up mattering. So it's really, really hard to find the predictors. I think you have to look for the things that are, you know, you just kind of have a feel about the way that certain things are going to go. I will say that when I was looking back at this, the one predictor that did kind of work, that was at least better than like a, you know, total coin flip, I guess, we have a very good record of picking. You know, we have made six picks at this point for the championship. We were right three times, which I think is better than any of the predictors that we were looking at before.
Spitting the truth.
So whatever, you know, we wind up saying, I guess we're doing, except that I think we're going to disagree because I'm going to take the Nuggets. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody, or if I'm just completely wrong and the Celtics just bulldoze everybody with these three-pointers. That may be what's going to happen. I just don't think it is. I think they're going to be close games again. And as we talked about, the Celtics are they were better this year. I think they may have even been in the top 10 in their clutch numbers, but they're not really great at it, whereas the Nuggets were number one again. And the last time they played was in Boston, because, you know, the Nuggets swept the season series this year. And the last game was in Boston, and they had it, you know, it was one of those great games. Everybody played. It had the playoff atmosphere. You could just feel that everybody was really, really working hard. And it came down to a last second possession by the Celtics. Jason Tatum got it. And he didn't do the thing where he stands behind the 3-point line and jacks one up contested. He did drive, but he drove like he was just trying to get a foul. And, you know, the refs just weren't going to get it to him. He shot up this lame duck kind of shot that barely made it to the rim. It just kind of illustrates what I think their problems remain. And I think that the Nuggets, I think they're just going to be too good down the stretch. I mean, like I said before, Jokic basically guarantees you a good shot. Maybe they won't make them. And maybe the Celtics will just make more of their shots. But there's really something to, you know, being able to execute that well at the end of those games. We talked about it last year in the Lakers series where, you know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but everybody in the entire game shot miserably. I think the field goal percentage for every other player was below 40% when you averaged them out, except for Jokic, who shot like 80%. You know, so even in a rock fight like that, where nobody can make a bucket, Jokic is scoring relatively easily and getting a lot of assists. So just having that is so valuable in the playoffs. I'm still going to go with Nuggets.
All right, Hillbilly. Well, I let you on, and, you know, I tried to help you out, and it was right there for the taking, and it's okay. It's okay. You can just celebrate me when I get my prediction right again. But
you know, it certainly seems as though you should be right, but I don't know. You got to go with the feelings there, and we'll see.
The Nuggets absolutely could win the finals for a second straight year. That absolutely could happen. First time since the Warriors won back-to-back when they won 3 out of 4 titles. So there we have it, Hillbilly. Our finals predictions. We just went through all the teams in the playoffs, which, again, starts on Saturday, April 20th. The finals are expected to start on Thursday, June 6th, so a little less than 2 months now from then. And all the games in the NBA playoffs can be watched on ABC, ESPN, NBA TV, and TNT. And another date to remember, Hillbilly, before we go, we talked about the draft and the draft lottery. Might not be as exciting this year as it was last year because you got Wembanyama with the first pick, but the Pistons and the Wizards right now have the top chances at the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery, which is Sunday, May 12th at 3:00 on ABC. It's a new day and time. It used to be like a Tuesday night, but now it's on a Sunday. The Wizards, Hillbilly, they might finally get a good player. They could. Donovan Clingan from UConn has been mentioned as a number one overall pick. UConn just won their second straight national championship, 7-2. He could help him out pretty well, but we'll see.
I don't think anyone's too excited about the draft this year, but we'll see. I guess all the big draft capital got soaked up into one person, Wembanyama. So
yeah, and we still had great players: Scoot Henderson, the Thompson brothers, like. That was a really great draft, I think, we had last year, not just Wembanyama. And we're going to have players for years to come who are going to be great contributors in the league from that draft.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of the, like I keep saying, the league just keeps getting in a better position. You know, the players play longer, they play better longer, and the young talent is coming in more ready to play.
All right, Hillbilly. So there we go. NBA playoffs preview, NBA finals predictions, the most factual predictions, Hillbilly said. Half the time, one of us usually gets the picks right. So we'll see what happens. All right. But Hillbilly, for the, I don't know, millionth time, probably, thanks again for coming on the podcast to spread all of your NBA facts. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Xander's Facts.
There you have it, friends. The Boston Celtics are going to win the NBA Finals. Honestly, though, Hillbilly's pick of the Nuggets is pretty good, too. So if it's one of those, I think we could claim victory on this podcast that a fact has been shared, because we're actually pretty good at picking facts. So there y'all go. Thanks again to Hillbilly for coming on the podcast for the millionth time. Probably he's been on this podcast so many times, I can't even count it anymore over the last 4 years or so. And thank you all so much for listening to episode 137 of the Zaders Facts Podcast. Those are all the facts I've got for this week's podcast. Remember that if you liked all the facts that were on this week's podcast, remember to follow this podcast, download this episode, rate and review the podcast, check us out on all the socials, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Zaders Facts. That is Zader with a Z. And of course, most importantly, remember to tell all your friends, spread the facts, y'all. Tell all your friends about the podcast, the newsletter, Zaders Weekend Facts, the Zaders Facts YouTube channel, because all our new episodes, including this one, eventually get posted to YouTube. Go check that out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and check out the Zaders Facts link tree. It is linked in this episode's description. That is the site that has every Zaders Facts link imaginable for all of your heart's desire for all the facts. Go check that out. linktr.ee/ZandersFacts. So that is it, y'all. That is it for episode 137. Episode 138 is coming up. I told y'all I was a busy boy. It's coming up in 2 weeks, y'all. Hopefully, episode 138 is going to be here in 2 weeks with some brand new facts. Next week's going to be a flashback where we take a look back at a previous episode. But in 2 weeks, we'll have new facts for you. Episode 138 of this podcast. Get ready for it, y'all. So that is it, y'all. That is a wrap on episode 137 of the Zaders Facts Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see y'all with episode 138 in 2 weeks.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat.